You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6 minutes after six right now. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're with us. If you want to get involved with the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It is Friday. Big announcement. Jamie's going to be on vacation next week, so she will not be here. I'm sure you have lots of relaxing fun planned.
Oh, yes. The first couple of days are going to include a lot of housework because I am so behind. Today, after I do a bunch of work to, you know, catch up before I leave, I've got to get my husband ready to go for a couple of days. He's got a trip planned to Las Vegas for the National Broadcasters Association big convention that they have in Vegas. Tried to get out of that one, but he's got too many meetings planned, so he's like, I have to just go, because it was going to be too much to cancel everything and move things around. So then once he gets home, he'll be home for about a whole 12 hours, and then we're going to get on a plane, and then we have some meetings that we have to do for our personal business in Florida. So we're going to be there for a whole 2 days before we come back to gorgeous Wisconsin.
All
so,
right.
Yes.
I know you like to research. I've researched the definition of vacation, and what you have just said is nothing like a vacation.
No.
According to dictionary.com, vacation, it's a noun, an extended period of leisure and recreation, especially one spent away from home or in traveling. So none of what you said, you're just giving up this job to do other jobs for a week.
This would be correct.
You're not.
Here's the caveat, though. I can sleep in a little bit. I don't have to get up at 4
a.m. You don't sleep.
I don't.
So what are you, 4:30? You're going to be slothful? You're going to pretend you're a teenager?
Yes, probably.
Make it all the way to 4:15?
It'll be
And
it'll
then
be
hit
amazing.
The snooze once and go, oh, it's 4:30. Look at me. I'm a layabout. I'll never awaken.
I'll try really hard. I'll try really hard to get a little extra sleep. But it's so funny because my day gets so jam-packed. My day usually starts at about 4 a.m., usually wraps up around, I don't know, 10:30 at night. And in between there's always all of these lofty goals. And, you know, if you work, if you've got kids in the house, if you, you know, just are a normal human, you get lofty goals during the day. Oh, I'll get that done. Oh, I'll knock this project out and then I can get back to the... No. It just never happened. So I have all these things that have just kind of piled up and I'm actually kind of excited to get them done. I like to check things off a list. It makes me happy.
Yeah. Parker, I want you to listen to what Jamie said.
I want you to
carefully listen to what I'm about to say.
Yes.
Your life is so much easier if you don't, quote unquote, set lofty goals.
Lofty goals. I was worried about all the meetings on the vacation.
In the evening, you can just relax. You work hard at your job, obviously. You work hard. That's a given. But then, I don't know. I should be your age, Parker, because I have adopted this work-life balance mentality.
Oh,
I enjoy it. I enjoy working hard, and then I enjoy doing nothing.
Let me be clear. A lofty goal for me is folding the laundry that's been sitting in that clean basket for about a week and a half now.
I can never do that. I fold the laundry right away. I couldn't just throw it in. It gives me, I'm triggered by that.
No, I am always triggered by it.
What the kids say. Because with five kids and my dad, my mom used to just like throw all the clean laundry in a basket. I fold it as I'm taking it out of the dryer. So it goes right in the laundry basket to carry upstairs, folded and sorted to go, here's Debbie, here's yours, here's mine, here's Molly's, whatever.
That's the goal. That is always the goal. And then all of a sudden I'll look at my
phone. But you're already taking it out of the dryer anyway. But so what's it's usually, what is the extra second?
My laundry usually ends up, the way laundry happens in our house is I'll usually put it in between things that I have to do. And then I'll go get it out of the washer to put in the dryer. So it
so pretty much like everybody else does
it
laundry.
It runs its cycle. But I'm always in between things. So then when I go to take it out of the...
What do you think? I sit in front of the washer and dryer just waiting patiently?
But then when I go to take it out of the washer or dryer... I'll look at my phone and I'll be like, oh, I have exactly a minute and a half to get this out of the dryer before I have to slip into yet another meeting or something else has to happen, because here at Civic Media, we have a lot of meetings.
Not me.
Not me.
So
not me, not Parker.
I'm always in between these things. And
listen, here's the deal. You host the morning show.
I know.
You know, you can take off your other suits, leave your other hats at home. You know, just go, hey, I'm the morning host. I don't need to go to
that.
I'll go.
I've tried that.
I meet with you guys. That's it. I don't want to. What am I going to sit with the bosses, get dressed down about something I said? I don't need that.
I've tried to use that card, and I get, no, we really need you in this. And so then it's fine. It's fine.
But do they say it with cash? If they really needed you, this is how, and Parker, here's another tip. And do what I say. Don't do what I've done. I have good advice. I just didn't follow it myself because, of course, I did not set lofty goals. But, you know, everybody needs you at work. Like, I know we're all needed here at work, the three of us. And Frank. But Frank doesn't come on camera, so he could be sleeping right
now.
He could be.
I don't know. Yeah. But we still need him. Frank is still needed.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of employers, and this is not specific to our bosses. I see it with my wife, who actually got reprimanded for doing her job the other day.
I hate when that happens.
She had to stay late because the attorneys she works with needed something finished. So the firm has been very strict about no overtime. Well, her attorneys needed something done, so she worked like 20 minutes after quitting time, and she actually got called in the office and reprimanded for
doing her job. Well, you could have finished that the next morning,
right? doing her job so that the people she works with had it when they needed it.
Yeah,
and she didn't just punch out at 5. So
we live in a wild and wacky world, Brian.
Yes, I don't enjoy it. I like to rebel against it. I'm the guy pointing and shaking my fist at the sky and screaming, and nobody listens.
I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, well, listen, enjoy whatever it is you're going to do. And I was fascinated. You know, I still don't understand this. And this is not you, Jamie. Please don't feel targeted. I don't understand anybody who throws their laundry in the basket and just leaves it there.
I swear it's never the goal. It's never the goal.
But goals are fine. You know, wish in one hand, have a goal in the other.
I'm going to also be honest. There are some days that at the end of the day, I'll look at the pile of laundry and it'll be about 8 o'clock at night. And I'll be like, you know, here's what I could do right now. Because there are some nights that I do get to be done a little bit earlier. I'll look at it and I'll be like...
9:50?
I'll look at it and I could be like, I could fold this right now, or I could just sit down and mindlessly scroll through my phone and pretend like there's nothing happening in my life. And so usually laziness wins and I take the latter of those two options. So it is technically my fault.
Whose personality are you more like? I was going to say, who do you think is right? But that's not true. Everybody's got a different thing. Are you more a Jamie or a me when it comes to your laundry? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because the other thing is, and I had no intention of talking about laundry this morning, but this is something, like my wife will leave something in the dryer and not go, and I would say I do 90% of the laundry.
Sure.
But every once in a while, she'll throw something in. And, you know, like I've said, I take it out of the dryer, I fold it, I put it in the basket or wherever it goes. Then I come down, I do some laundry, thinking the dryer is empty because it should be empty. Once the buzzer goes off, you empty that dryer.
Sure.
No, then I got stuff that I'm throwing in the dryer and I open it up and there's stuff in there and I'm like, I know I didn't put this in the dryer. Somebody's going to pay. And But yeah, aren't your clothes all wrinkly then?
I iron everything. I iron everything. So I'm an ironer.
T-shirts and
I love to iron.
Oh, I am probably one of the top 10 ironers.
I learned
in
how
this
to
state.
Iron when I was really young. My mom was very much a person who loved clean and crisp clothes. And in fact, she ironed my baby sleepers when I was little.
Well, that's too much.
That was just how she was. So I learned how to iron very early, and she started me on pillowcases
I don't iron that.
Oh, no,
kind
no.
Of stuff.
We had iron pillowcases when I was growing up because
what?
Oh, yes. Like they, wow. Oh, like she had been.
Well, here's the thing,
she'd
Jamie.
Been a nurse.
If you take them right out of the dryer and fold them. They look like
oh,
they're
no.
Iron.
We still had iron pillowcases when I was growing up, and that was my job, to iron all of the pillowcases. And there was a precise way to fold said pillowcases.
Of course there was.
And so it was, you did it in half one time, mm-hmm. And then you did it half another time, and mm-hmm. then it was always just halves until you ended up with this nice, perfect little starched rectangle because everything was starched. And then it stacked very nicely in the linen closet, and
and there's a right way to fold towels.
Of course.
Parker, did you iron your Brewers t-shirt?
I did not iron my Brewers t-shirt, no. Oh. And I right. am baffled by being able to take a break during your laundry. That is like taking it out and folding it is one task, not two.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you,
that's
Parker.
That's crazy to do that
Thank
separate.
You. But now see, Alicia on the social says she's like Jamie. It all comes
it
down
does.
To time and energy. But again, it's one fluid motion.
I know,
As
but
it
it's...
comes out of the dryer, you fold the t-shirt, you lay it in the basket. You take the two socks out, you put them together, you do... I can't imagine rummaging through a clean laundry basket trying to find my clothes.
Oh, it's the most annoying thing on the
of
planet.
Of course it is.
I totally agree, I don't do it anymore. Which is why
I would love to
be able to take things out as I go and fold it. And it literally...
Correct my math. You have three people living in your home, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How much laundry are you people generating?
Oh, quite a bit, because we all have our own baskets and then towels get done at least every other day. So...
Okay, but still,
be clear.
Clothes.
I do all of the laundry in the house. Nobody in the house does their own laundry. Dexter will do his own laundry only if it's an emergency and I am like, dude, I am just too swamped today. I can't even leave this desk. Then he'll throw it in.
So he knows how to do it. So every day should be an emergency.
Just declare
every day an emergency.
They all know how to do their own thing, but somehow it all ends up to me.
Well, listen.
This is why I celebrate birth month. I told you guys this a long time ago. I celebrate birth month.
Do they do the laundry during birth month?
See, this is what I'm hoping. One time. They either take the dog for a walk, they do their own laundry, maybe somebody takes the dishes out of the dishwasher and puts dirty dishes in. That doesn't have to be me. I stayed at home for a really long time. So my family is a little spoiled because this was what I did. And so now they haven't really caught up with the fact that I'm just as busy as you are.
And yet the most put upon woman in Wisconsin is vacationing by working. So, well, I'm glad you at least got us off your plate. We seem to be the main drain on your schedule.
This is actually a fun joy during the day, let me tell you.
Wow, yeah, because we don't make you do the laundry.
That's right. Anybody who doesn't make me do laundry is, he become my new best friend very quickly.
All right, well, we're going to, I know it's hard to believe, but we are going to change the subject.
We are.
And when we come back, the question for you this morning is, where do you stand on animals being used for scientific experiments? There's a little protest coming up this weekend, and we'll talk about that and so much more. It's a Friday edition of Daybreak. I'm not doing the laundry today, and my lofty goals are very low-hanging. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:19 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Very nicely done, Parker. It is 6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie, we we're talking about the laundry before we get into the question, though, that I want you to start thinking about, and you can jump in with us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Where do you stand on animals being used for scientific experiments? But we were talking about something much less serious, or in some cases much more serious, the laundry and towels.
Yes.
And then Chrissy jumped in.
She did. She's texting this morning from Fitchburg, and she says she knew we were changing the subject. We were gonna talk about something different, but she's like, as far as towels go, they should last at least a week, because you have a top towel and a bottom towel. Never the twain shall meet, and you're good.
I'm guessing I know where she thinks that. First of all, two towels. That's wow.
Oh no, I use
what
two.
What are you, a billionaire? What are you at the Ritz?
I have a hair towel, and then I have the body towel. So I have.
You know
two
what's
of those.
Funny? When we're at home, my wife and I each use one towel.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in a hotel,
oh, you use 150
my wife
towels.
Will use so many towels. It's the most ridiculous. Every time I book a hotel room for her, she goes, make sure you ask for extra towels. I'm like, what? How many? I've seen you here. You don't use all these towels. Chrissy must live in like, she's like Madeline at the Plaza. She's living her best life, a top towel and a bottom towel.
I have a turby twist for my hair, and then I use a body towel.
Wow.
Microfiber for the hair, because it's curly. Curly people, haired people will understand.
If you got to use a bottom towel, I don't know, but I guess it makes sense.
It's
everybody's got their own thing. That's fun. I just love that there's different behaviors from home and away.
Yes.
It's like,
oh yeah,
somebody else is doing the laundry.
Yep.
And not me. I'll still hang my towel up over the shower rod.
Oh, I do too.
Whatever,
no, I do too.
And the hotel, I act the same way. I'm just like,
I can't
stand
a
towel.
Hotel room, because it gets messy really, really quickly, and it drives me absolutely bonkers when I'm in there. If it starts getting messy and I can't find things,
I spent so many years on the road.
Oh, I suppose.
I treat a hotel room like a studio apartment. Like
if
I don't want, even if I don't want house
cleaning
that day,
messy.
I make the bed.
Oh yeah.
I put the stuff away.
Yes.
I'm
100%. It drives me nuts if it doesn't feel kept even when I'm in there. So, Chrissy,
waste up. Okay.
Thank you, Chrissy, for clarifying.
But the bottom of my legs is—that's not the region I worry about with the towel.
Yeah.
So I would have like a mid-range towel, probably a groin cloth.
So now
could we call it that?
Yes. So now you're looking at three separate towels.
Now I use a lot of towels. Then I also need a washcloth, a hand
towel.
Right.
That's right.
And, oh,
all
all
of
right.
the towels.
Well, listen. I need to. Wow. Raised in California, water was a pro. Oh, we didn't wash stuff willy-nilly. Okay.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I get it, too.
Thank you for the context this morning, Chrissy.
All right. Now, this is going to be a whiplash change
it
of
is.
Subject.
It
but,
is.
There's a big, first of all, both Jamie and I are dog owners.
Yes.
I would say we're animal lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fall on animals being used for research?
Oh, I think it's awful. I honestly think it's awful, especially when we're going to talk the story we are, because we're going to talk about the beagle breed. And beagle breeds are just, they can be a huge pain in the butt. I have a part beagle breed, but they are just the sweetest, goofiest, most loving dogs ever.
Well, right. And I think part of this problem is that this story does revolve around dogs. And the story we're talking about, before I get into what I'm thinking too, there's an animal rights activist's planned rescue of dogs from the town of Blue Mounds.
Yep.
It's a breeding and research facility. Well, ahead of that, the Dane County Sheriff's Office is warning participants not to break the law. Makes sense.
Sure.
But Sheriff Calvin Barrett also promises that his office and state regulators will do a quote-unquote walkthrough of Ridgeland Farms, and quote, if any violations are observed during this visit or through our ongoing work, a fair and impactful investigation will be conducted. There is a group that's called the Coalition to Save the Ridgeland Dogs, and they've been gearing up for weeks to bring about 2,000 people to the farm on Sunday morning, and they have a plan to break into the facility and take possession of the approximately 1,900 beagles that are kept there.
Well, you can't break the law, though, either.
Well, that's right.
I mean, there's that part of it. Because it is private property, right?
It is private property. It's I would imagine it's a licensed facility if they have state regulators going through there and it's a business and all of that. The sheriff said, I empathize deeply with the strong feelings and perspectives of community members who care passionately about the welfare of animals, but a gathering of that magnitude storming private property would create significant safety risks and force the DCSO to respond accordingly to protect lives, property, and public order. So I think there's a couple different things going on here. One, there is the basic law and order. You can't just storm somebody's business or their home or their land and steal things that are in there.
Yeah, that's not a protest anymore if you're doing that.
No. Now you're doing, like, what did they call it? Environmental terrorism.
Right.
And that's, if you, I don't think I'm being fast and loose with that term. If you have 2,000 people and you storm somebody's business, destroy their property, and take stuff, you are breaking the law.
Yeah.
I also, now I love animals and I would never do anything to hurt an animal. That being said, I also eat meat like it's going out of style. I also know that if my family members needed some medical treatment or a medication or something that had been tested on animals, I would want that. I also think there is a line where you can do this to a certain point and be humane.
Yes.
But I don't think banning all that. And I also think the problem here is who doesn't love dogs?
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to if this was rats, are you going to be as excited? Are 2,000 people going to be storming this place because they got rats?
See, and I think that's my problem. It has to be humane. And we know a lot of these facilities are not necessarily humane. Right. It's 6:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Has ICE affected your trust of federal law enforcement? We'll talk about that after this on the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. A quick little weather update. In portions of the state today, there is some dense fog. So as you are leaving, getting ready for work and, you know, for your day, in certain portions, especially northeast Wisconsin, the fog should eventually lift by about 9 a.m., but there is a dense fog advisory in effect for portions of central and much of northeast Wisconsin. So please take it easy out there this morning because it was a little foggy coming in today in the dark. I know as I got closer to downtown from where we lived, it got a little bit better, but it's definitely not great in some areas. And this is just going to be all before a potential another big line of severe weather later today, Brian.
Yeah, no, it. You're right. It's about 5 o'clock, they say. That's when the big storms are going to come in. Across central Wisconsin, up into Green Bay, there where they don't need any more water. You're going to get a lot more rain later tonight. But they're saying in central Wisconsin, extreme thunderstorms, hail, the whole nine. So be careful. Winds of 70 miles an hour. So if you can knock off early today.
Yeah.
Then it's Jamie, that's when people leave work before their scheduled time, or maybe just quit on time and go home.
Yes.
Then you might beat the storms.
And then it's going to get cold for the weekend. Like now, then we're talking temperatures of near 80 today to like 40 to 45 tomorrow, which is why we're going to get another line of storms today. You know, it's weird when hot, warm air and cold air combine. This goes back to science, kids. Bill Nye the Science Guy, if you need the little, you know, reminder. When the warm air and the cold air collide, something has to give. And unfortunately, we're going to see more severe weather, which we don't need any more of here in the state of Wisconsin. So
definitely not. But it's coming because you don't control. We don't control the weather, unfortunately. What we do control is our opinion. So in your opinion, has your opinion of law enforcement changed with all the ICE activity and all the headlines regarding ICE? Can you parse them out to say, well, my local department does X while ICE does Y? Has your opinion changed? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Real quick, this happened just last night. Before we get into two more specific stories about ICE, acting ICE director Todd Lyons is stepping down at the end of May after leading the agency during a major ramp up in arrests and deportation. The new Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen announced that last night, basically. Lyons is a veteran of the federal agency. He was tasked with overseeing the administration's mass deportation plan. His time, of course, drew scrutiny because of all the horrible things that went on, including questions from lawmakers about the deaths in ICE custody, how the agency is handling detentions. Not clear yet who will replace him. I'm sure it's going to be someone vastly overqualified.
I'm sure.
If this administration runs true to form. Probably somebody who's never doesn't even know what ICE means. But that'll be good. So they have not had a Senate confirmed leader since the Obama administration.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that that ICE had been without an actual confirmed leader for that many years. We're going on almost 20 years that nobody has actually been confirmed by the Senate to lead ICE. I found that actually fascinating. That was one of those little things that I guess just slipped in the cracks of things. But I had no idea that we're just placing people in there and
How much attention did we pay to ICE before they started occupying cities?
Yeah, I think that
we just knew there was. We knew there was an immigration agency, border patrol, and all that. We knew that, but they were kind of just doing their job.
Yeah.
And yes, they were before people jump in there. They deported more people under. Yes, they were. That's not the issue.
Right.
Obama administration, Biden administration, they were all doing deportations. We get it. A lot of deportations. They did it humanely. They didn't kill American citizens. They weren't arresting people and holding them without any access to lawyers or family or anything else. They found the people that needed to be deported and they sent them home.
Yeah.
And which is kind of how it's supposed to work, right?
Yeah.
That's how the agency is set up.
And, you know, maybe that's just it. Maybe because the agency is supposed to just be there doing their job, that maybe, you know, past presidents haven't seen the need for a Senate-confirmed leader. Well, it looks like maybe we need a little bit more oversight, though, in this administration. I hope somebody does come in and is Senate-confirmed. Now, I don't have faith that the Senate will do the right thing and it will be the right candidate because the GOP always falls in line. However, I do hope that maybe there is somebody Senate-confirmed so that it actually makes some sense and maybe there's a little bit more of oversight there. But
yes,
we shall see. I won't get too excited yet.
What's we have other ICE news.
We do.
This is pretty big. This one's going to make some more headlines. A U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent was charged with assault for allegedly pointing a gun at the heads of two motorists in Minneapolis in February. That, according to the Hennepin County District Attorney's Office yesterday. According to the prosecutor's complaint, Gregory Morgan Jr., who was an ICE agent in Minneapolis, was ending his shift. Jamie, that means when people leave work when they're done.
Thank you.
Ending his shift on 15. I think you just need to be reminded what
Probably.
People do when they're done with work. They go home and they don't work again until the next day. He was driving back to the Whipple Federal Building. A person allegedly cut him off because welcome to traffic. Morgan was trying to pass them.
Oh.
And the agent then allegedly brandished his firearm. I don't think you can do that.
No. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
I don't think you can just, even if you're law enforcement, like I've passed police officers on the road before.
Yeah, they don't just take out their gun and held it up in the air at me to show me they have one. Right. It's never
easy,
been a
Yosemite
thing.
Sam. We're trying to drive here.
Wow. This story is kind of crazy because the gentleman's name is Gregory Morgan, as you mentioned. He is from Temple Hills, Maryland, and he is charged with two counts of assault with a dangerous weapon now, and a warrant has been issued nationwide for his arrest.
Oops.
The Hennepin County attorney, Mary Moriarty, said in a news conference yesterday that Morgan has not been taken into custody, but hopes he'll turn himself in. She said yesterday that Morgan was driving illegally on the shoulder, appearing to bypass shoulder traffic. traffic, which is also something that you really don't want to see happen, especially if it's somebody in law enforcement. The complainant told police that they did not know the person driving the other car was an ICE agent until investigators told them. That's at least according to the prosecutor's complaint. And I mean, this would make sense that these things are happening because we know that these ICE agents are being given huge bonuses to sign on to ICE. There's very little training. There's very little oversight as to what they're doing. There was a whistleblower just about a month ago or so who was involved in the process of basically training, we'll put that in air quotes, these agents. And they weren't even being explained the Constitution properly. It was literally a 10-hour program that was taking about an hour and a half before they were turned loose, essentially, into the streets and given assignments.
These are a lot of real power-hungry people that are, as you said, are being paid more than, I don't mean to generalize, but I will. They're getting paid a lot of money, probably more than a lot of them were making before ICE started recruiting.
Sure.
And a lot of them seem very angry, very full of themselves and satisfied that they now are in charge when really they're not. Plus, we also know most ICE vehicles were not marked.
Right.
So if you see a black Charger speeding down the shoulder and somebody points a gun at you, you don't know who that is. You know, it's some lunatic. So it's good that they're finally, you know, I'm glad Hennepin County is doing what they're doing and trying to charge this guy as anybody else would be charged. So before people start screaming, well, they're just singling out these ICE agents because it's a woke liberal activist state with the woke liberal courts. No, if you or I pointed a gun at somebody while we were driving, you can bet we would be arrested on the spot.
Absolutely. So. We've got John from Oshkosh chiming in over on the text line this morning, listening on WISS. He says, if any law enforcement agency masks themselves by default, they can't be trusted. I mostly trust local law enforcement unless they are actively working with ICE.
Good point.
It is a good point. And I think that's going to be a larger conversation as things progress. We don't know what DHS under Mark Wayne Mullen is going to look like. We know what it looked like under Kristi Noem. He's been on the job for what, about a week and a half? Something like that. I'm going to say that for a lot of what DHS does, and I'm just speculating, time will tell, I think it's going to be business as usual. But this masking of the ICE agents to me has been very strange. And I think a bigger conversation is going to be how many local communities and sheriff's departments and local police stations are actually working with ICE, because we're also starting to see that more and more even in Wisconsin. Yeah. There's a lot of contracts going out for detention, turning over of immigrants. And obviously, these county departments, these city departments are getting a lot of money from the federal government in order to have these contracts for detention and deportation, because some of them come in to certain precincts and they are, or county jails, and they are deported directly from there once they go through an entire process. So I think that's going to be a bigger conversation as we go forward.
Well, you brought up Wisconsin, and ICE arrests of people without convictions has grown sixfold in Wisconsin.
Wow.
The administration's immigration crackdown appears to have no signs of slowing down in Wisconsin. In the first 13 months since Donald Trump took office for this second term, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has arrested more than three times as many people in Wisconsin compared to the last 13 months of Joe Biden's administration. Most of that increase, Jamie, came from a surge in arrests of people without criminal convictions. So the worst of the worst talking point is out the window. More than six times as many, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel analysis of the latest data from ICE, which was published by the Deportation Data Project. So based on this data, immigration arrests in Wisconsin jumped significantly starting around June of last year and have risen steadily since. As of March 9th, the latest data available, the Trump administration had arrested and detained over 1,600 under... 1,600 They are 1,600 immigrants. The under Trump, ICE is arresting on average twice as many people with criminal convictions each month, six times as many people with pending criminal charges, and seven times as many people without any criminal record. Immigrants in a 200% increase compared to Biden over his final 13 months.
And let's be clear one more time. That's just in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
those are just Wisconsin numbers.
So it has gone up that much. And what, again, why do we have to always justify? We feel the need to justify opinions because you're always shouted down by the other side,
right,
who immediately paints any disagreement as being unpatriotic, uncaring. If your opinion, and listen, there's a lot on the left that do that too. If your opinion differs at all from them, they want to shout you down. I have no problem, and I encourage people with criminal convictions who are here illegally to be arrested, detained, and deported.
Agree.
But what should trouble all of us is the number of people who are being held and arrested with zero cause.
Yeah.
Their only cause, they're brown.
Yep.
And that is the truth. If you're brown or you're white or you're black and you have convicted crimes, you pay the penalty. But come on. These numbers should be troubling to everybody in this state.
I think they should not only be troubling, but then we should also be asking, who's going to hold these people accountable at the very end of all of this? Who's going to hold the agents and DHS accountable when it matters? And nobody so far is the question. So kudos to the state of city of Minneapolis so far.
Minnesota trying to do it upright. Train travel. There's trains coming. Do you want to travel more on the train? We'll talk about that and get your thoughts. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. A beautiful start to the day. Of course, we are going to see some severe weather across the area and some parts of the state under a dense fog advisory this morning. So please, as you're heading out the door this morning, take it easy if you don't expect the fog. Don't let it catch you by surprise, especially in northeast Wisconsin. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, 855-75-CIVIC. That's how you jump in and join the action. Will greater access to trains in Madison encourage you to travel more? I am always torn by this. There's a part of me that thinks it'd be, so romantic to take a long train journey. Mm. I think I've mentioned it before. I've only taken one train journey, and I swore I would never take it again. And that was only from downstate Illinois to Chicago once, coming home from college. And it was awful. But then I think, maybe I'll get one of those sleeper cars and I'll travel across the country like a very snazzy hobo, and it'll just be great.
I don't know. Well, I don't think traveling at all should be romanticized, because the actual act of traveling, from getting from one place to another, there is nothing romantic about that. It's hectic. It's stressful. You got to stand in line with a whole lot of people. Now, once you get to your destination, it's awesome, right? And then you can romanticize it. But the actual act of being on a plane, a train, and in a car for a long time, I don't think there's anything romantic about any of that.
I disagree 100%. I think a long road trip is phenomenal. I love to be out, especially from where you're from. Man, to drive across the Badlands and stuff
car, it's gorgeous.
Doing 90, it's fantastic. Because the speed limit's like 112 up there. They don't care, Montana, the Dakotas.
It's like they're like, hey, what are you going to hit? It's like 85 now on the interstate. Yeah,
I just put the club on the car and sleep. It just, because there's nothing, just flat. I just go. And I also see there's always these ads for this train trip to go through British Columbia, through the mountains and stuff.
Looks amazing.
And I'm like, now see, that would be cool, because the only bad part of road trips when you're driving is you don't get to enjoy all the scenery. So I think being on a train and having, being surrounded by glass, that would be beautiful. Well, maybe not as scenic a trip would be from going.
Convenient, though.
Convenient. Madison to Minneapolis, Madison to Milwaukee, and then on to Chicago. This is big news.
It is.
And we've been following the story since it started last year when they were expanding the train. Amtrak was expanding from Milwaukee up to Minneapolis. So they plan, Amtrak does, to restore passenger rail in Madison. Those plans are proceeding in earnest, they say, and it potentially will transform Wisconsin's transportation landscape. Service would start with an initial twice-daily connection between Madison and Milwaukee by extending the existing Hiawatha line between Milwaukee and Chicago. That came out on Tuesday at a public meeting. The new 82-mile-long Hiawatha West Line would include stops in Pewaukee and Watertown before reaching downtown Madison. Now, would you take the train to go visit your son who lives in Milwaukee?
Sure. I probably would do that because I think that would be quick and easy. And then, you know, sometimes you don't feel like doing the late night drive back. So somebody kind of handles that for you. So I'm always okay on the short trips. It's really when you start getting into the long ones that I think of how daunting the task of getting from one place to another is. Yeah. And then once I get there, I'm fine. I just don't really like the act of basically standing in line and getting ushered around and then having to sit and wait for a long time to do things that, you know, just get the trip.
You don't
on.
Like giving up any control.
I don't.
That's what we're gathering here. You do not like to be at anybody else's mercy. And I'll agree with you to a point. I hate the act of getting onto the vehicle that is transporting.
Yes.
Once I'm on the plane, I'm fine.
It's fine.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I know, because I know once I get off that plane, I'm somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Getting on the train, probably the same kind of thing. You got to wait. You got to check your bags. You do the whole thing. And we all know my thoughts on public transportation, that I eschew it whenever possible. But this must be exciting because then they're going to expand it. They're going to expand between Milwaukee and Minneapolis and St. Paul via Madison and Eau Claire. They don't know when it's going to happen, though. That's the problem.
There isn't really a firm timeline on this whatsoever. No. And of course, it's going to come with a price tag, an estimated $215 million to $275 million. 80% of that will be federally funded. Thank you, Joe Biden, for that Infrastructure Act, by the way. And the remaining 20% will come from state or local dollars, which I think is probably, I mean, that's the other thing right now with the federal government, right? You don't, if that money's not already allocated, which I'm going to assume that this money probably is coming from the Infrastructure Act, you've got to go through all of the red tape that way. And then, of course, your local authorities are going to have to try to raise that money, and leaders are going to have to try to raise that money and find it as well. But now, I love this because it also raises the economy. Right?
Yeah. Oh, sure. There's going to be a lot of construction jobs. There's going to be people just coming into Madison for fun.
Sure.
People in Madison going to the other places just for fun. This is the interesting thing, though, because Amtrak is saying part of the new route is because they see an increased demand for rail service in Wisconsin.
Interesting.
Is anybody, Parker, are you clamoring for trains?
I do not yearn for trains, Brian. No.
Is this the commuter mentality, though? Right? Where we do have a lot of people from Milwaukee who could take jobs in Chicago. Chicago folks could take jobs in this direction.
In Madison, I have to drive.
Right.
Because taking the train, my wife takes the train into the city for work. She loves it because she can, you know, you can just unwind for a minute.
Yeah.
She can get a little work done. She can read. She can fall asleep if she wants to. She says, I only sleep in the morning because the train, I get off at the end. I can't sleep on the way home because I might end up who knows where.
missing your stop. That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
But I think it goes into that commuter mentality of you would be opening up a job force potential opportunities for a lot of people because you wouldn't be confined to just looking necessarily in your town at that point. Down for that,
I guess. You've been everywhere, man. You have been everywhere, man.
You're right on par today with the music, Parker. Thank you.
He's doing a heck of a job. Heck of a job, Parker, on a Friday. It took you long enough. It's been all week. But anyway, listen, when we come back, it's headlines and stuff you need to know because it's Friday and this is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.